between 19 and 22, I every single time think, this is it. Like, why do I keep doing this?
Diz Runs Radio episode 566 starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to Diz Runs Radio, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So if you're ready, then I'm ready. Let's get started. Hey guys, real quick before we dive into today, just want to take a minute and thank a few folks who've left some reviews lately. Got a pretty good deluge of reviews in of late, so we'll be mixing these in for the next few episodes probably. First and foremost, from Running Crazy 24, says this is a great podcast for runners new and experienced. The review says Diz, aka Denny, does a nice job of bringing interesting runners to his audience each week. He does a nice job of blending his experience as a runner and an athletic trainer to bring you solid information that you can use. Thank you for that, Running Crazy. Certainly appreciate the 5 stars. Next interview, 3 stars only, but we'll take it. You know, certainly not perfect, never claimed to be. Coming from Just Emily C, says, improvement on asking questions. I like the content, the guests, and the earnestness of the host, but man, he really needs to work on forming and spitting out a clear question. It takes the host much too long to wind up to finally asking the question. He needs to work on concision. Yeah, that's fair. You know, coming up with questions on the top of my head based on how the conversation goes, sometimes it takes me a minute to spit it out. I apologize for that. Always trying to do better, and appreciate the thoughts, Emily, really do. And then the last one for today, we'll bring some more soon. Says new to the show, 5 stars from Jander Zoo. Appreciate you. Said I first heard you on 300 pounds and running. Now a regular listener. Lots of great info for the new and experienced runner. Also very entertaining. That's what we love to hear. Thank you for the review for everybody. Jander Zoo, Just Emily C, and Running Crazy 24. Really appreciate you guys navigating through the Apple Podcasts / iTunes situation to get to leaving a review. It's not the easiest and most simple, straightforward thing. So I thank you for doing that. Feedback is always appreciated. I will, Emily, I promise you, I'll keep working on asking more concise questions. Although, a little behind the scenes, a little how the sausage is made, easy for me to say. Sometimes I ramble on the question to try to give the guest a little bit of a minute to try to formulate their answer. Not always. Sometimes it's just me bumbling over my words and not coming up with a coherent question. But sometimes there is a little bit of method to the madness. But anyway, that's maybe me just trying to come up with an excuse for not being as concise with my questions as I should be. But it is what it is. And as always, always trying to get better. Always trying to get better. And you can't get better without some feedback sometimes. So appreciate that. I appreciate everybody leaving reviews. Let me know what they think of the show. And so without any further ado, let's go ahead and dive in to today's episode of the show. Hey guys, today's guest is a runner that started her blog to document the training for her first half or for her first full marathon, and since then it has definitely become so much more. Since that first 26.2, she's gone on to finish another 80-ish plus or minus half and or full marathons, and in that same time frame, she's also lost 20 pounds, fell in love with the sport, and has also added the title of podcaster to her CV. She's a holistic health coach as well, and also a running coach, so kind of a nice little blend there. And it's a pleasure to be able to chat today with Miss Monica Olivas. Thanks for joining us, Monica. Really appreciate it, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm very excited.
Good deal. Guys, if you haven't heard of Monica before, seen her online and all the various places, here's the rundown of the places to track her down and find what she's got going on. The website is runeatrepeat.com. The podcast, pretty brand congruent, Run Eat Repeat podcast, and also brand congruent on all things social media, Facebook, Instagram, you know, all of the places at Run Eat Repeat. So if you can remember Run Eat Repeat, you are pretty much golden to be able to find Monica wherever it is that you like to hang out. She's probably there as well. And if you forget anything along the way, you know where to find it in the show notes. Today's episode, dizruns.com/566. So you can head over there and I will have everything linked up to all of Monica's places to say hello and find her and links to anything else that we talk about that makes sense to link to, dizruns.com/566. So, Monica, the way we always start off each episode, each conversation is with the same simple question that for some folks, it really is a you know, not only is it a simple question, but it's also a really simple answer. And for some others, it can really be a complicated kind of web to unwind a little bit to get to the answer. But it's just to simply ask, what is your favorite distance to race and why?
I love half marathons. It's my favorite distance, hands down. I love it because it feels like you really accomplished something. You have to show up. You have to do the work. But then you can have a normal day for the rest of the day. After I run a half marathon, I can still, you know, go live my life, whatever it is. I can go hang out with people. I can go to a barbecue. I can walk around Disneyland, whatever it is. And I feel like after a full marathon, I'm pretty wrecked. So I like the half marathons.
Yeah, it's that recovery process, the training, all of the process of the half marathon. It tends to fit a little bit more into day to day life than sometimes that marathon can be a bit overwhelming.
For sure. Yeah.
So how did you? I mean, like we mentioned in the beginning there, that you kind of started your blog when you were training for the first marathon. But where did you get started in running? Was that also right about the same time, or had you been dabbling in the sport before that, or how'd you get started in this crazy sport that we all know and love?
It was kind of by accident, which is a little funny because how do you get into running marathons by accident, right? Mm-hmm. I started after high school, I started taking walks to lose weight. That's how my grandma had kind of lost weight. My mom was taking walks. So my best friend and I would walk around and just really was our form of exercise. And my best friend ended up getting pregnant, and my mom, I was a commuter. So after high school, I lived at home still and just drove to school. I went to a college locally. And I would walk with my mom sometimes, but she was busy. Like, everyone just kind of ditched me. Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of solo and didn't really want to walk alone necessarily outside. So I would go walk on my grandma's treadmill. And really just every time I would go, kind of just over the course of a couple months, I would add more time to how long I was walking. And eventually just kind of started to incorporate some running. Because I got bored. I was messing around with the incline, right? And then I was messing around with the speed and kind of realized like, hey, I'm jogging a lot on this thing, and ended up getting a treadmill to have myself, so I didn't have to go to my grandma's and do it. And gradually, I don't know, it took a while. It definitely took months, if not a year. I was running on my treadmill about 5 days a week for an hour at a time. And it was just, you know, something that just very organically I came into and I enjoyed, and it wasn't ever like I dreaded it. It became just a part of my routine that I would do before going to school or going to work. And just since I realized I was running more and more, I mentioned it. I had a part-time job in college and I mentioned it to someone there, and it was a friend who had run one of the, I think it was Rock and Roll New Orleans with the charity. He ran a marathon and he was like, you're running an hour a day. You should do a race. And I'm like, no, I cannot do a race. There's not at all. I'm not a runner. I'm just messing around on the treadmill, you know? Mm-hmm. And he basically convinced me to do a 10K with him. And I did that race, and it's kind of like the rest is history. Going to that 10K made me realize there are normal people here. I was really apprehensive that I was going to be too fat or too slow or too awkward or too whatever to fit in at a race. But since I was doing it with him and he was super fun and funny, I knew we would just kind of have a good time and I wouldn't take it too seriously. And that really changed everything, because it gave me the courage. Once you go out there and you see a race and you see that there's quote unquote like normal people, right? Mm-hmm. When you don't know you have this idea sometimes, or at least I did, of what a runner is, what a runner looks like, how fast they run, what they can do. And I just thought that I didn't fit in. And once I went there and realized like, oh, I could totally do this, and I did it. From there, I decided to sign up for a half marathon. And that was really like, I got bit by the bug. Yeah. And from there it was just like, yes, this is my favorite thing. And it's kind of funny because the way it happened was very organic. I never felt like I was making myself do something. So I really enjoyed every step of the process.
That's great. And you know, it's one of those things that I think you mentioned about kind of the realizing that, quote unquote, normal people run races as well. It's something that I think that a lot of us maybe can forget about, especially if we've been running for many years. But, you know, it makes sense if you step back and think about it. People that aren't at all versed in any type of running culture, aren't in a community where there's a lot of runners. The only runners you see on TV are usually, you know, the Olympians, or, you know, as we're recording this, yesterday was the Boston Marathon. And so, you know, they tend to show, you know, in the coverage of the race, if you happen to even watch it, if you're not a runner, you may not even watch it, but it's all, you know, the East Africans and the, you know, the Americans that are all, you know, the Desis and the Chilenes and all of the folks that are, you know, quote unquote, you know, 100 pounds dripping wet and they look like runners. And so it's easy to forget that, that those that aren't in the running community at all may forget that, you know, we as runners do kind of come in all shapes and sizes, and what you see on TV is just a small sliver of the greater community at large.
Oh, totally. And that's why I say, if you're apprehensive about signing up for your first race, to go and spectate at a race then. And you will see that people are running at all different speeds, and they're all different ages and abilities, and it is really motivating.
Yeah, certainly. That's another thing that my first race was a Disney race. So talk about, you know, not that I didn't realize at that point that, you know, all shapes, sizes, colors, whatever are involved in the sport. But then you go to a race like that is maybe slightly less serious than some of your other big races. And you really see that cross section where all of a sudden, I remember my wife saying, like, wow, like there's all kinds of people that are running these races. Like, yeah, like it's not an exclusive club, this distance running thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I can't gloss over the bit about, you know, that you kind of got started, at least, you know, shortly after you got started with doing the walks by turning inside and getting on the treadmill. I have a longstanding, I don't know if hatred is quite the right word. That might be a touch too strong, but I am not a treadmill guy. I would rather take an off day than to get on the treadmill. But it sounds like you kind of enjoyed your walks and runs on the treadmill. Is that an accurate statement?
Yeah, I did. which though is, it's kind of funny because now, yeah, I would not want to be in a treadmill at all if I don't have to be. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know any different. That was how it had all started. That's how it all started. And it was kind of funny too, because when my friend was asking me to run the 10K with him, I had never run outside once. Mm-hmm. And so that was part of my apprehension, is what if it's super different? You know, it was that's how much I didn't know any better, basically. And since I had a treadmill, you know, at my grandma's and at home, I had it set up. Like, I'm not completely going to be staring at the wall. Mm-hmm. I would watch TV as I was doing this. So that really helps to make the time fly by.
Yeah. There's some folks that, you know, don't mind just looking out the window or doing whatever when they're on the treadmill for hours. And I've talked to them, and it's one of those things that I just can't even begin to fathom. Like, I just can't, it's too easy to just press the stop button for me. Like, you know, I could pretend I'm going to go out and do 5 or 8 miles or whatever, but you get a quarter mile in on the treadmill and you press stop and like, all right, done, game over. Like, I just can't do it. So kudos to those that can. And I was going to ask if you do much treadmill running now, but I guess you kind of already answered that question.
Zero now.
that's right. That's I'm team anti. I'm team no treadmill for sure. So glad to have another member.
Well, I feel like though I can say that because I live in Southern California. Like, I don't need to run on a treadmill. It's ridiculous that I even did for so long because this is heaven. Mm-hmm. Like, it is heaven for running here. It's just so awesome, and you can run year round. So I know some people kind of have to reluctantly. But I'm very lucky that I don't necessarily, I don't know what I would do if I had some sort of extreme situation with weather that I kind of had to, but I'm very lucky that I avoid it at all costs.
Right. Yeah. I'm kind of in that same way, although we get, I think, a little bit worse heat and humidity in the summer times than y'all do. But, yeah, at least I don't have any ice and snow and things like that to really have to force me to rethink my stance on the treadmill. I'll just go out and sweat it out in the summertime and complain about the heat and humidity, but not enough to get inside and run in the air conditioning.
Same all the way.
Good deal. So, you know, going back to kind of the early days of your running, you go out and you do the 10K, and then you're going to sign up for the half marathon. Was it a pretty, I don't want to say easy, but was it an easy-ish transition? Was it a smooth transition? Maybe that's a better way of saying it, of going from being inside on the treadmill to being out at some of these races and the longer races and things like that. Was that a smooth process for you, or were there some serious bumps along the way?
I don't think it was a smooth process because I'm not necessarily a natural runner. Like, I don't think it's something that I am naturally good at, I guess I would say. So it did take work, mm-hmm. and I did have to, you know, follow a plan. And even when I did, it wasn't like I was rocking the heck out of these races. But I wasn't super worried about it because I was never like super competitive, I guess. So it was like, you know, we're going to see what happens. that's kind of my attitude. So it was, it definitely took a lot of hard work and it wasn't super smooth, but I was still having a good time, mm-hmm. I guess. So that's why I kept at it.
Gotcha. What was the motivation for that first marathon? Cause I'm going to kind of paint with a broad brush here, but I feel like a lot of folks, you know, kind of that impetus to go farther to, you know, you've started maybe a 5K or a 10K, like you started at the 10K and then the half marathon. And part of that drive to keep going farther is a little bit of that kind of self-competitiveness of, all right, well, I could do this. Let's see if I can do the next challenge. Was there any of that involved or why step it up to the marathon, you know, in those early days?
I just wanted to run one marathon. A lot of the half marathons that I was doing had a marathon component to them as well. So you could do either. Right. I had done the Long Beach Marathon out here, and that has a half and a full, and the OC has a half and a full. Surf City, actually probably like the big three near me have both options. So I was just doing the halves at all of these and thought, you know, I want to do one full marathon, cross it off the list just to be like, yeah, I've done that. And then I can keep doing the half marathon. So I think it was just kind of like this bucket list, huge goal that I thought I am going to climb this mountain to be able to say, you know what, I did it. And then I'll go back to doing the half marathons and just enjoy it.
And clearly that didn't quite play out.
It did not at all, which it's like the thing. Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, what about, because I had the same thought too, or the same, I can vividly remember, you know, at mile, I guess I can't say vividly remember, then can't tell you exactly the mile marker, but somewhere in that 18, 19, 20 mile range of being like, this was the dumbest decision of my life in that first marathon. I will never do something this stupid again. And then of course, you know, famous last runner's words, like, oh, I'll never do this again. And then, you know, sure enough, you know, you end up running however many more and no plans on stopping. But what was it, you know, for you, you went into it as a bucket list thing. How long did it take you to, you know, decide, you know what, maybe I do like this, this 26.2 distance and wouldn't mind doing it again. You know, maybe not all the time, but certainly make it a somewhat regular occurrence.
Yeah. I think after the first one, immediately after, I thought I'm never doing this again. I remember being just like my entire body felt in pain and like inflamed. Like I remember thinking like, oh, my eyelashes feel swollen. Like I just feel like everything is not happy with me right now. And then I just thought, well, maybe I could do it a little faster. That's like that thing, right? Where you're just like, well, maybe I could show up a little better. I wasn't that well prepared. And the second race, it also, this is part of the trap, is that there are so many awesome races in different parts of the country. So it was like, well, I can go here and do one. And then that's like an excuse to travel. And then I'll do a race. So it was pretty soon after, actually, that I thought maybe I'll do another one and see what happens. And kind of just once again, like do it with thinking this is going to be it, you know, like. It took a while before maybe I'm still in denial to this day, but I still think that the next one's the last one.
Come on. You gotta learn from that lesson that,
I know. Well, I quit marathons every one I run at about kind of what you're saying, like between 19 and 22, I, every single time think this is it. Like, why do I keep doing this? And then I keep doing it.
Yeah, you're not the first runner to have those thoughts and fall victim to that, and probably not the last runner to keep coming back. So you mentioned the ability to travel, and obviously in running, you know, I can't remember the exact numbers from the website, but like I think 50 half marathons and 30 plus full marathons, somewhere in that range, which was where we got the 80 number for the intro. You know, it's been some different places. What are some of the races that stand out in your mind as far as places you've been able to go run, whether it's you know, location, whether it's the beauty of the views, whether it's whatever it is, what are some of the races that really stand out for you?
Well, my second race was the Disney World Marathon, which is part of the reason why. It was, I think, 2010.
I think. Was that the year that it was wicked cold?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we were on the course together.
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah. It was ridiculous. Yeah, that was a very hard year, but it was also like this, and I ended up getting sick right before it, so I just had horrible, horrible performance. So that's kind of, this is like that thing, and this is how it happened. Is so for the second marathon, which was at Disney World, epic, right? And I expected it to be super fun. It was freezing. I was sick. I had a really bad race, so I thought, okay, just one more kind of thing. I ended up, to speak to kind of the cool places, I've done New York. I got to do Marine Corps. I haven't done, I mean, the Vegas Strip at night is super awesome. I've done New Orleans. So I've done a lot of races kind of going into it with like, that's somewhere cool I'd like to go. Or I've heard this is a super awesome race. Probably the highlight is I did the Jerusalem Marathon. Wow. And that was, I was able to go with a media group because of the blog. And I think like that is the most awesome thing. It was just such an amazing trip and such an awesome race that's probably the coolest one so far.
With that in mind, with the Jerusalem, bit of information there, what was it, how did it compare to races in the States? Because I know from working with some folks and being on social media and talking to folks in other parts of the world that a lot of the things that I think we as runners kind of take for granted here in the States are maybe almost more exception than rule when you start to go outside of the U.S. running community, at least, and you know, some of the aid stations and just a whole host of different options that again, things we take for granted that aren't the case at some other races. Were there big differences between, you know, Jerusalem and some of the other races you've run here, or were they fairly similar across the board?
For the actual race, it was pretty similar, but it's a really big race, and they have a full, a half, I think a 5K and a 10K all on the same day, starting around the same time. So there's a ton of people, and all of the, at least, you know, kind of the course support is pretty similar to a comparable race in the US.
Gotcha. You, the way you answered that, I'm just going to probe a little bit more if you don't mind. The way you answered it said that, you know, the race seemed pretty similar, but were there other things that were quite different, you know, as far as maybe leading up to the race or things like that?
Not really. Okay. I think that race, I mean, it was definitely cool. There's a ton of international runners for that race, which I think also happens in New York.
Right.
So I felt like there wasn't anything really that sticks out to me that I thought, whoa, this is super weird. I think the weird thing to me, this isn't weird, and this happens at races, but the half marathon started before the full marathon. And so I was just like, we're going to take so much longer. Like, why are they letting them go first? I was just kind of like, everyone's going to be waiting for me that did the half marathon. But yeah, I think for the most part, it was pretty similar.
Gotcha. Would you go back and do that race again if you had the opportunity?
Oh, 100%. Yes. Yeah. It was awesome. Yeah.
Cool. What are some races or locations or things like that that maybe are still on the list of places that would be kind of cool to go and do a race at that you haven't been able to cross off yet?
I would love to do Chicago. I've heard amazing things about it. And so that's a big one that's on my list. And I would love to do more international races. I definitely want to do something in, I would love to do the Great Wall of China. I feel like that's kind of, though, a hike slash race. So that would kind of be like a some sort of hybrid of trail road situation. But I want to do some international races.
Gotcha. Do you have a preference? And it kind of sounds like maybe you do, although with 80 races and we're barely scratching the surface of the races that you've run, maybe we're just hitting that, some of the highlights. But do you have a preference for big race, with thousands and thousands of people versus smaller races? Because it sounds like, some of the rock and roll races you mentioned, the Disney races, Jerusalem sounds like it was a pretty big deal. Marine Corps, like those are all races with, thousands and thousands and thousands of people. Is that kind of your preference?
Not necessarily my preference, but I think it kind of makes it, I don't know, actually, I think it just makes more sense. Those are just pop up on my radar a little easier. I think maybe if I was trying to PR, I would do a smaller race just because with, sometimes the course being crowded or different issues like that with logistics, it might be easier to deal with. But yeah, I don't really have a preference. I am an equal opportunity runner. I will run anywhere that I can.
Gotcha. Yeah. I tend to enjoy the smaller races a little bit more. But yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say no to an opportunity to run a big race. It's like, it's like you said, equal opportunity. If you have the opportunity, I'm going to take you up on it most of the time.
Yeah.
So shifting gears just a little bit back to the blog, like we said earlier, I mean, you started it when you were training for that first marathon. When you started it in hindsight being what it is, did you have any idea that it was going to turn into what it has become and led to, or was it pretty much just a, I'm just going to kind of keep track of my training and that's kind of it type of thing at the time?
Oh, I had no idea. It's so ridiculous to think of where kind of how I went into both the blog and starting, and training for a marathon. Like I would never have guessed that this is where it would be. I just thought I would document my training so I could hold myself accountable. And also I wanted to lose weight. So I wanted to document what I was eating. And I thought that would give me a lot of accountability and be fun and kind of I could connect with other people that were running. So yeah, I went into it just really thinking this would just be a little fun thing to do while I was training for that first marathon.
And like we said earlier, after the first marathon, then, all right, well, I'm never going to do this again. But, a couple days later, all right, well, maybe I'll try one more time. Was it the same type of thing with the blog in the early days? Or was that something that you during that course, the process of training for the first time, that you enjoyed it enough that you wanted to keep going with it?
Yeah, it was something that was just kind of fun. Mm-hmm. And I was meeting people through it. So I felt like I had friends online that were following along with my running and I was following along with theirs. So it was something that I thought was just a little fun bonus of training and running.
Gotcha. When did you realize that it was, starting to almost take on a life of its own, that it was becoming something much bigger than just, Monica documents her training and kind of keeps herself on check with the training and the diet thing?
It took years. Yeah, it definitely took years, but it also, it probably would have been more obvious if I went into it kind of more aware of, oh, this is a thing. Mm-hmm. And luckily, because of the people that had met through blogging, just being invited for different trips or just kind of reviewing similar products and just connecting with different people, I realized that other people were seeming to make money from it and in turn kind of treating it more like a business. And it took a while for me to realize that because I just really had this mindset that it was just this like random online thing that I would update every now and then. So I think it could have turned over quicker if I would have treated it in a more professional way, but it probably took about 4 or 5 years for me to realize this is actually a thing now. Mm-hmm.
Did it becoming a thing, did treating it like a business take any of the fun out of it? Because I know I've talked to folks that sometimes have that type of worry, whether it's a blog or any type of hobby, something that they enjoy doing, that if all of a sudden it becomes work, it actually becomes work. Did you experience that at all?
A little bit, but I want to say more recently that I've kind of realized just because of all social media just being like, you know, I'm very consistent across all social media avenues that I am a brand on some level. So I don't have just personal social media. And I actually don't think I would be on social media that much if it wasn't for Run It Repeat. Mm. But it does, I guess it's the fact that I need to post every day because I want to check in with people. And there are times when I have a rest day and I don't necessarily have my own personal running update to share on Instagram. But every day I do this run report where people check in and I say, check in with your rest day or check in with, you know, an update to your progress overcoming an injury or with a race or with a run, whatever it is, like just be accountable, you know? And there are times when I'm like, oh, I've got to do that. It's not necessarily like, we'll see what happens. It's important that I do that because, you know, the people that are following me are waiting for that. And it's not that it's super tedious or ridiculous, but it's something that I need to make sure I do. Whereas other people kind of just check out social media when they have a minute.
Right.
So I have to look at it like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely a double-edged or can be a double-edged sword of, you know, it becomes a chore and you don't want that to happen. So, it's, you know, finding the right balance and all those types of things, those cliches that are actually legitimately true. It's, you know, different for each person, but it's you know, all part of the process, I guess.
Yeah.
What about the podcast? When did that, that idea come across your radar and you decide to take the plunge into audio world?
Well, I had been thinking about it for a really long time. I got into like listening to podcasts after. I didn't get in at the height of Serial because I am a late adapter to things. But after I was listening to Serial, and then after that was over, there was a huge void in my life because I was obsessed with it. I probably listened to it twice. And then I started looking for other podcasts and it turned into this podcast obsession. And then kind of realizing I love this and this is what I prefer now instead of even, you know, sometimes checking other social media or blogs or Pinterest or whatever it is. I was like, I am super obsessed with podcasts and I want to be able to hang out with my followers in this way. I think it's like you're going on a run, right? Mm-hmm. And you're kind of hanging out. And the other person doesn't need to talk. This is why it's awesome when you're listening to a podcast on a run because you feel like you're kind of running with someone, but you don't have to answer their questions and get out of breath. So I thought it was super fun. I was thinking about it for the longest time. And then I started it, I think, in June or July. After just kind of realizing I need to just go for it. I'm waiting too long. And so finally I just kind of recorded my first episode and was like, all right, we'll see what happens.
And still going strong. So that's a testament to you. I don't know how much you get into the trends of podcasting and whatnot, but they tend to say, or whoever they are, tend to say that, you know, about seven to 12 episodes is where, you know, if you make it past that, yeah, that kind of 12, 13 episode mark, you're kind of in it, as opposed to a lot of people dabble for a few episodes and then drop off. Has there ever been a inkling or any issues with continuing to keep on keeping on, or you know, as if you're really just taking a fish to water it with the podcasting stuff?
Well, I love it. And I just heard that recently, what you were saying, that there are, if you pass this, like, whatever seven episode marker, it seems like it's good, you're going to stick with it kind of thing. I don't understand why that is though. And then I'm like, this kind of goes back to me just going into it with this attitude of like, well, we'll see what happens. So I don't obsessively check my numbers for my blog or for social media or for the podcast. And I think maybe if I did, especially after the first seven episodes, cause they are pretty rough. They're pretty rough. Like it's not this high quality stuff, but I just am like, I think that this is fun and interesting. And the feedback that I'm getting for the most part is positive and constructive. And I don't know, I really enjoy it. So far, I want to keep going.
Well, good. There's always room for more, you know, good podcasts and podcasters that enjoy the process. So certainly hope that you kind of continue along those trends, at least as long as it stays fun. And if it stops being fun, then there's always, you know, there'll be something else. Lord knows with the way technology moves and the world turns around, there'll be something else that you can chase. But right now you're enjoying it. So keep on keeping on.
For sure. I think, I mean, obviously everyone listening to us listen to podcasts.
Right.
But I just think, like, I tell people, everyone, like from, you know, my dad to my little brother, to random people, I just shout this out sometimes. That's why everyone thinks I'm a weirdo. No, but I just think podcasts are amazing and it's the best way to multitask, you know, because you can listen to a podcast while you're cleaning or running or traveling, whatever it is. Every time I tell someone about it, I'm like, this is going to change your life because there's a niche for everyone, you know? So it's like, it doesn't have to be about sports or running or fitness, but the thing that you're into, there is a podcast about, and check it out, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I love it.
There's not only is there one, there's probably a half a dozen podcasts about it. So you can get different angles and different perspectives and different thoughts and really go down the rabbit hole if you're not careful.
Yes, I have done that.
So, for like you said, I mean, people that are listening here right now are podcast listeners. When does the show come out, and what's the format of your show? Is it all interviews? Is it some interviews, some solo? Like, how does your show go for people that might be interested in adding another show to their lineup?
It is some interviews, some solo. It kind of depends. I like to talk to I haven't figured out the term for this, but I kind of think of it personally. I try not to use this as real runners, and everyone's a real runner, right? Like, we're not robots that I know of. I maybe I've interviewed some robots. I'm not sure, but I just think, like, you know, relatable runners, I guess, that are just like someone that has done their first half marathon and kind of what that journey was. And it reminds us, right, even if you've run a ton of races, of some of the basics. You go back to the basics and the things that you kind of experience or things that you need to keep in mind that we kind of just go through the motions now if you've done a ton of races. So, or someone that just did a PR at a race and, like, what did they do different from this time to the last time? Like, just things that are helpful or insightful. Talk about food too. I get a lot of questions about different, you know, fueling and how to fuel and when and hydration and all of that. So it's a combination of interviews and solo, kind of just depending.
Gotcha. And consistent day of the week. What day does the show tend to drop?
Tuesdays.
Yeah. All right. Well, there we go. I mean, we're Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So y'all, you got nothing on your, you know, if you need a show for Tuesday, here we go. Run
boom.
It. Go check it out. So, you know, kind of what you just said there, the question about food, of course, I think everybody, you know, I think that's one of those most common questions that goes across just about any platform, you know, any discipline as far as athletics might go or things like that, where, you know, everybody kind of has their own thing that they do as far as fueling goes, you know, dietary, you know, beliefs and the path that they go down. What is your kind of, you know, again, and obviously this is a generic piece of advice, so everything is going to be a little bit different when you're talking to an individual person, but when it comes to fueling and you know, both during performance and just for life in general, for people that are looking to incorporate some of that type of, you know, maybe looking to make some changes there, some improvements to their health by what they eat. What are some of your go-to tips for that type of at least general area of advice?
Yeah. I think if someone is trying to improve their health, they should kind of look at what they've been eating for the last couple of days and pick one or two things that they think are a quote unquote, like, bad habit, you know, or something that they want to switch up a little bit. I think that is something that could potentially be sustainable. Think about, what are you willing to do? You know, if you were not willing to stop putting, you know, whatever creamer in your coffee, don't change that, you know, like, it's not going to help to cut it out for 2 weeks. But are you willing to take a walk every day at 3 o'clock instead and, like, you know, burn those calories another way or switch out, you know, one food for another? I think that something that is long-term sustainable that you don't hate is the best way to go. Think of something that you are willing to change today and change it, you know? I think that I am all about doing something that just makes sense. And like you said, it's very individual. You have to listen to your own body. Everyone is different. But I think that reasonable kind of sustainable changes are the best way to go.
And if I'm hearing you correctly, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but you're also saying maybe not do a wholesale thing, but start something small and make a little change here. And then once that becomes more automatic, then maybe make the next change as opposed to trying to do a blanket across the board thing.
Yes. Yeah. I always say that if I'm kind of working with someone one-on-one, I will have them kind of look at their last week or so and then identify, you know, three of your kind of habits that you think are standing in the way of your goal, whatever that goal is, because it could be weight loss, running faster, sleeping better, you know, whatever it is, mm-hmm. and then pick one and mm-hmm. work on that one and then go to the next one kind of thing. So yeah, I think change something, get that to stick, and then find something else and improve that and build on it that way.
Gotcha. Kind of more along these coaching lines, something mentioned in the intro that you're a holistic health coach. For those that aren't aware, and I maybe count myself into that, it's one of those, I feel like I know what those words are, but I don't necessarily know what that necessarily means when you blend them all together. What does that kind of, holistic meaning, you know, all, everything. So is that basically it, that you're looking at all areas of health, or what is a holistic health coach?
Yeah, it's looking at kind of all areas, and more than anything, it's kind of just realizing that every body is different. So you need to mm-hmm. treat each person as an individual, like as their own, you know, individual whole person. And so, yeah, sometimes that has to do with different like health situations that they're in, preferences, mental health situations, if they have an aversion to something, just kind of taking each person case by case and, trying to kind of help them that way.
So it sounds like with that definition then, that it really works well to you know, into the running coaching, or really kind of any coaching thing, because it really is, you know, like you've said a couple of times, that everybody is different. What each person needs, what each person, you know, wants are always going to be unique. So really, you know, looking at the micro level instead of macro level when you're talking about helping people is really what you're all about.
Yes. Yeah.
Fantastic. What made you get into those types of lines of work with the health coaching and the running coaching?
Well, with the running coaching, I kind of did it because Running Repeat was growing so much and I was just getting so much more followers and so many more questions that I wanted to be better educated on running. Mm. And I realized that I needed to, you know, research it more and do a lot more work and kind of just go in that avenue. So that's why I did that. And it was a partially similar for the health coaching. Just realizing I get a lot of questions. It would be a disservice to not educate myself better. And really it was just something that I'm super interested in. I was just really passionate about. I had some, hypothyroid issues that I got tested mm-hmm. for, and realized that I didn't necessarily, ironically, trust the information I was finding online. So, I mean, I don't blame you if you don't trust me. I'm just a weirdo on the internet.
Right.
But I thought, I want to be better educated so that I can know what I should be eating. And if someone asks me a question, I'm very big on lead by example. So I was just like, this will help me. And in turn, since I'm sharing my journey, it might help other people.
Hmm. Gotcha. Yeah. That's something I think that, and I may be guilty of this as well sometimes, that, you know, taking your own medicine, like, you know, it's easy to maybe quote unquote know what you should be doing or what needs to be done. But then putting it into practice can be a struggle. So that's great that you're not only educating yourself to help yourself, but also leading by example. It's something that I think all of us, whether you're a coach or not, could probably aim to improve a little bit. And, you know, even if you're not, like I said, even if you're not coaching, but just people are still watching you. People are still paying attention to what you're doing. So if you're leading by example, it's always probably the best way to do it.
Oh yeah, completely.
So, you know, as we're kind of wrapping up, but before we completely wrap up, anytime I talk to a fellow, coach, especially a running coach, I love to kind of just pick your brain a little bit and ask for kind of like, and again, you know, I always say this, but it always bears repeating that, you know, we're talking generalities here. We're not talking about specifics. We already just mentioned just a minute ago that each person is going to be a little bit different, and the advice is always going to be, or at least hopefully is always going to be catered to each person in each of their situations. But, you know, as a coach, as both the holistic health coach and blending with the running coach, what is something that for, you know, in general, that us runners, the running community at large, one or two things or something that comes to your mind is an area where we probably could do a better job that would not only make us, you know, better runners towards whatever our running goals might be, faster, farther, staying healthy, things like that, but also improve our overall health that, you know, maybe the running community tends to get wrong, or something that you tend to shout from the mountaintops along with listen to more podcasts, also do this as well. are there any pieces of advice or tips or things like that you can share?
Stretch. And I am the worst with this, so I talk about this all the time. This is one of those ones where I like shout it from the mountaintops, but I'm shouting at myself. Like it's one of those mountains that echoes back at you, because I am the worst with stretching, and I know it's so important. And I try to make it a goal for myself to stretch more. I always say after certain runs, like I will try to do 2 or 3 times a week, set my timer for 10 minutes after a run and stretch. And I know it needs to be after every single run. I've talked to a lot of, you know, different like sports docs, and they're like, well, it should be everyone. And I'm so proud of myself, because I'm like, well, you know, once or twice a week, I'll stretch for 10 minutes. And they are just like, no, that is not good enough. And I'm just like, that is good. It's up from zero,
right?
You know? So that's something that I talk about a lot, because I just know that I need to get myself better about it. So it's one of those things that I try to keep in the front of my mind.
Gotcha. That's good. And you know, to kind of call back just to something we just talked about a minute ago, but like if you're making, you know, you're trying to make a change maybe to your diet, and we just said, you know, don't maybe try not to do a whole blanket wholesale everything change, but make one spot and improve, you know, kind of same thing could be said with the stretching, or, you know, strength training is probably the one that I tend to shout at the mountaintops the most. Whereas, you know, yes, maybe stretching after every run would be better, but if you can go to one or two and at least be consistent a couple times a week that you do the stretching, and then add a third day and then add a fourth day, you know, that's always going to be better than just saying, oh, well, hell with it. Like if I can't do all of them, I might as well not do any, which, you know, also guilty as charged, probably is what I tend to default to when it comes to stretching. It's like, I'll just do it tomorrow. And of course, tomorrow never comes.
Right. Yeah, I know. That's why I keep just telling myself just today, or I'll just be proud of myself if I do it once or twice a week. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm just like, I'll do what I can.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, you gotta give yourself grace. That's for sure. So, Monica, as we're wrapping up, the way I like to kind of end these conversations is with something that I call a philosophical question, which is just my fancy way of saying it's kind of like the introductory question. It's a very open-ended question, kind of a little bit more generic than some of the specifics that we've been talking about lately, but just give you the kind of floor to close things up, and you can answer it. You know, we've had long answers that take 10 or 15 minutes to go through. We've had some answers that have literally been 2 or 3 words, and of course, most of them end up being somewhere in the middle. But I'd just be curious that at this point in your life, I mean, you know, been running for many years, and obviously lots of races and the blog and all of the things that have come from it since, you know, since started those days out of walking with your girlfriend and eventually getting onto the treadmill and still walking and you know, where it's grown to. Why do you keep going? Why do you keep running? What does running bring to you that just makes you say, you know what, I'm going to keep lacing them up. I'm going to keep getting out there and doing my thing. Why are you still such an avid runner?
I love running. I love it. It just, I've never felt like it was something that I made myself do. I still really enjoy it. I still get bummed when I have to take a rest day, and I know they're part of the program, and to avoid injury, you got to do it. But I wish I could just run every day. Yeah. And I hope that everyone loves something as much as I love running in terms of an exercise. I don't think everyone needs to run. I don't think it's necessarily, you know, the only exercise or something that people should do. Because a lot of times when I meet someone and they'll figure out what I do and, oh, you run races, you run marathons. Like, I could never do that. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. I'm not asking you to. But it would be awesome if you found a hobby that helped to keep you healthy that you really loved. And I just think that there probably is that one thing for everyone. And for me, it's running.
Yes, totally agree. And as per usual, I'm going to try not to step on that answer at all and add too many words that muddy the water, because I think that's a great place to wrap things up for today. So once again, guys, runeatrepeat.com is the website. Easy for me to say. Run Eat Repeat is the podcast. So, you know, whatever app, device, thing that you're listening to right now, if you go ahead and search Run Eat Repeat, you're probably going to find Monica's show, and go ahead and subscribe and check that out. New episodes drop every Tuesday. And once again, on the socials, all things social, at Run Eat Repeat. So real easy to remember. And in case you need some links, disruns.com/566 will take you back to the show notes, and we'll have everything linked up there for you, right? Easy to find, easy to click on, and easy to get to whatever it is you're looking for. So with that, Monica, thank you for taking the time today. Certainly appreciate it. And certainly, you know, continued success with the podcast, continued success with the blog, and just, you know, all of the opportunities that are going to continue to come your way because of running, you know, and now and in the future. Just nothing but the best going forward for you, and certainly hoping that we can maybe stay in touch and maybe do this again at some point down the road.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was fun.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode of the show. I hope you enjoyed the conversation between Monica and myself. And as always, I'd be curious to know what stood out to you from this episode. What was something that we talked about that made you think a little bit or caught you off guard or whatever? Whatever stood out to you from this episode and why? Always love to hear those types of thoughts. For me, it kind of came back to when Monica was talking about the power of making kind of little subtle changes versus trying to do a wholesale change, whether it's to your diet, to your fitness strategy, whatever the case might be. And it just stood out to me because I think that we have this propensity to have kind of an all or nothing mentality. You know, when it comes to eating, either you eat clean or you don't. When it comes to training, either you're all in or you're not. And, you know, those types of things sound great. They make a great little sound clip or a little, you know, quote, inspirational quote on Instagram or Pinterest or whatever. But a lot of times, maybe not in every situation, but a lot of times that all in mentality just doesn't lend itself to being something that's sustainable over a long period of time. But if you can make those subtle shifts, those small little changes, you know, cleaning up the diet a little bit, adding just a little bit of, you know, better, a little bit of yoga or a little bit of, you know, increase in your training volume or, you know, being a little bit better about differentiating between your easy runs and your hard runs, whatever it is, little changes make a huge difference. And I'm not going to try to give you the complete analogy because I can't remember the numbers, but it's something like, you know, 1 degree of difference when you're steering a ship or an airplane or something like that doesn't make that much of a difference. You know, if you're supposed to be going due east and you're at 89 degrees east instead of, you know, perfect 90, you know, over the course of 100 miles, it's not that big of a difference, but over the course of 1,000 miles, huge difference. So, you know, it's those little changes, those little ways of correcting course, or those little ways of shifting in the direction that you want to be, that in the long run really, really makes a difference. So, it was something that I was happy to hear Monica talk about, something that I kind of know or have known, but don't always remember that. Don't always think of those things. You know, it's I want to go all in on stuff. I'm excited about a new project or this or that. I want to go crazy. Want to do it all. Doing it all in heart rate training. Ultimately, maybe that's right. Maybe it's just a slight little course correction of being a little bit more diligent, a little bit more focused. We'll see. But those little steps, those small changes make a big difference when it's all said and done. It's just a good thing to remember in all areas of your life. So with that, we'll go ahead and officially wrap this thing up for today now. Thank you guys for listening. Thanks again to everybody that left a review of late. You know, read a few today. Once again, big thanks to Janderzoo, Just Emily C, and Running Crazy 24. I've got several more to be reading out over the next few episodes. So thank you. And if you want to support the show, that's an easy way to do it. Well, it's a cost-free way to do it. Maybe not easy because, you know, as much as I love Apple, boy, it's a hassle to get through the Apple iTunes or Apple Podcast app thing to leave a review. But if you can do it, certainly appreciate it. And if not, no worries. Keep listening to the show. Keep telling others about it. And that works too. So anyway, if you want to leave a review, great. If not, no worries, but appreciate you that do. And until next time, please be well, take good care, happy running, and we'll talk soon, all right? See you guys.